Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 verse 5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today with your word open, I pray your Holy Spirit be among us, that Lord, you teach us, instruct us. Lord, help us to see the wisdom in your word and perhaps even the folly of some of our behaviors. Help us, Father, to walk closer to you and, Lord, live better lives by what we've read here in your word. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The word judgment has two different uses. We could think of judgment as to the way we make decisions, our ability to assess a situation, and then judgment also means to pass a sentence upon or to condemn or form a conclusion of another's actions. Danielle and I, we saw this video last night, and I laughed so hard at it, I felt really bad. But this guy, he decided that what he was going to do was break into a grocery store after they closed. And he did. He goes and he batters the window, but the window doesn't shatter like you would normally see windows shatter. It's sticky still. You ever see that? And he puts a hole into it, and in his judgment, bad judgment by the way, tries to crawl through the hole. And he gets cut up and marked up, and bless his heart, he gets stuck. So the cops, they get a phone call that they believe somebody has tried to break into the grocery store. So the police come and they said, all right, well, we're going to look around and try to see if we can figure out who it was that did it. So one person was going to go to the broken window. The other person was going to drive around to see, well, the person who went to the broken window was able to properly judge who broke the window. Because the poor fellow was still stuck inside the window. He used poor judgment. I'm assuming a few days later, he stood before a court for the other kind of judgment, right? Guilty, innocent, here's the sentence. We're familiar with both types. But it doesn't matter how you define it, both apply when you look at this scripture. Evil men understand not judgment. How many times have you looked at behaviors in this world and you go, what were they thinking? We look at politics today. What are they thinking? Have they lost their mind? What made them think that was going to be okay? When it comes down to evil, they don't understand decision making and they don't understand why they get the judgment on top of it. The answer is very simple, because actions have consequences. God has an order to things. And when you transgress his order, punishment comes. We see that among here on mankind, right? That guy was arrested. Why? Was it because he was in the wrong neighborhood? Was it because they just didn't like his attitude, his color, the shoes he was wearing? Why'd they arrest him? Because he broke the law. When we do wrong, punishment comes. And many just don't understand that. And you know what? I've thought long and hard about this, and I've come to the conclusion as to why people today lack judgment. It's because we have taught something very harmful. From a very young age, and probably earlier than that, even down to the Garden of Eden, we've been taught to follow your heart. You ever see that on Disney? Follow your heart. Right? You would turn on to a Hallmark movie. Follow your heart. Mom used to watch those. If you watch Hallmark movies, please don't come after me. But I'm going to pick on them for a little bit, okay? So just brace yourself. You know, the young girl or a young lady, she goes back to home and to a rural community, and she's leaving behind her her fiance or her husband, right? And he's got a big job and he doesn't have a lot of time for her. But when she goes back to her old rural community and she runs into her old high school flame, and it's all Christmas time and they've got to save his business. And she does the thing and she saves his business and they fall in love. And because Mr. Business Guy doesn't have time for her, we all root for her to run off with the guy from the small town, and at the end it turns out he's Santa Claus, and he flies off on the reindeer, and everything's wonderful. The end. And the ultimate story is, follow your heart. Well, let's dial that back that a little bit. You're married. We skim right by that because jingle bells and warm cookies and, oh, he's got time for her. Well, of course he has time for her. You know, whatever his job was, he sells hot cocoa in a small town. He's got time, right? So you're transgressing that. And what do? We, maybe not you, but so many, oh, what a great movie. That was so heartwarming. Follow your heart. Would you believe that your heart can want things that are bad for you? Your heart can want things that will be bad for you. As a matter of fact, your heart can want things that could be devastating to you. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That doesn't sound like a very nice thing to say about my heart. But think about it. Has your heart ever wanted something that would have been bad for you in the end? You ever want to hit somebody because you got angry? Well, that ain't right, is it? Following my heart would have either gotten me arrested or gotten me beat up or gotten somebody killed. That's what the heart will do. Oh, but I feel as though I really love this person. Yeah, that person doesn't seem to be doing all that good. They might not be all that good for you. Oh, but the heart wants what the heart wants. Let me tell you something. Your mind may be in its 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, but your heart is 12. Your heart stops maturing at 12. It will often randomly want things that are no good for it. You need to possess wisdom to be able to sit there and say, all right, that's not good. Danielle and I, we like this comic series. This artist, he draws these comics, and the two main characters are a heart and a brain. And then the heart will sit there and heart, you know, there'll be a cartoon where the heart is ordering things online. I want this. Oh man, if we had this, it would solve everything. I would be so happy. Things would be amazing. And brain sits there and says, that is not within our budget. Heart orders it anyway. The thing comes in and heart's all excited. Oh, look, we got the thing. Oh, it's so wonderful. And then 30 seconds later, guess what happens with heart and that thing? Well, that was nice. And heart's back online shopping again. Because if I just had this, I would be so happy. And then you have the thing, and guess what? Heart gets tired with it. Heart gets bored with it. Now, again, we got to be careful. There's not really a difference between here and here. You don't do nothing here but pump blood, all right? Those old stories where I want Jesus in my heart, they're not talking about deep down in your chambers here. It is the two sides of your brain, the wisdom parts, and then there's the lust part. Right? I desperately want this. That guy hurt my feelings, so I desperately want to punch him in the face. Right? I don't care if he's robbed three banks and he's got four kids with two different women. I don't care. I love him. And then he hurts her too. Right? And then the heart goes, what? Oh, we're miserable now. Well, heart, you got what you wanted. You knew what you were getting. What happens? You're miserable. The heart doesn't mean to be deceitful. The heart doesn't mean to be wicked, but that's what it is. It'll want things you shouldn't have. It'll want things and pretend as though I'll be happier than ever if I just have it. That's why this brand new politics where if we don't give children what they want, they'll be miserable and they will die. That's why it's so harmful. Because if you've got somebody in that position, giving them what they want right now isn't going to help the real problem. Right? There's a serious issue going on there. If they feel like they will die if they're told no, we've got a different thing we've got to address. Because you could give them everything they want till the world runs out of money, and that condition will remain. Instead, we've got to be able to sit there and say, yes, that would be good. I would want that. But if I did, this would happen, that would happen, these things would happen. I was watching on TV one time, and they showed just a tour through one of those giant yachts. You ever see those things? Entire houses. You get 7 or 8 of your buddies, you rent it out for $30,000, $40,000 for the week, and you just cruise around, and you fish, and you see cool things. And you ever sit there and think, how cool would it be to have one of those? It would be pretty cool to have one of those. But then what does the mind do? Do you see the price tag on that thing? Do you know how much upkeep that would take? How are you going to hire the staff? So the heart goes, big boat! But the brain goes, there's some obstacles and some downsides. I mean, you got to figure, what was they say that acronym for a boat is? Bust out another 1,000. I can only imagine what it would cost in a super yacht. You know what I mean? Yes. What would it be? It'd be millions of dollars here, millions of dollars there. There'd be a lot of obstacles to it. And some people would sit there and say, well, it's not fair that some people can have a super yacht and I can't have a super yacht. We need to temper the heart. Hey, heart, listen. This is real life. We can't have that. Now, if you can have that, and you do have that, shotgun. That's all I got to say. Let me steer it for a little bit. But ultimately, our heart will want random things. And sometimes your heart will want different things. We had a friend that we graduated with from high school, and they had a major in mind. They got about 3 weeks into their year, and they decided to change their major. And then they did it again and again. And each time, they weren't wishy-washy. Each time, they were 150% committed. Oh, this will be the best thing ever. This is what I want. And then they would learn about something else. And guess what? Oh, yeah, I want this and I want this. The heart does crazy things. So do I listen to it? Well, I can for some things. But everything I do on one side of my mind must be tempered with reality and wisdom. When I teach a whole generation, when I teach generation upon generation to only pursue the heart, a very bad thought process emerges. And that is, if I want it, therefore it is necessary. If I want this to be a part of my life, if I don't have it, I'll die. If I don't have it, I'll end myself. If I don't have it, I will be miserable and life will have no meaning. Now here's the thing. If one of the 5, 6, 7-year-olds in the church were to say, go to Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis, if I don't have one of the lemon drops, my life will be miserable for the rest of my life. We would say, whew, okay, a little bit dramatic. Maybe next week we'll get some more and we'll bring them back, right? But we've got full-grown adults doing it, and we're changing legislation for it. See the weirdness? We always put children under a certain scope, right? Oh, that's very childish. Oh, they'll grow out of it. But yet we see that we don't grow out of this desire equals necessity mentality. Right? There comes a time when we look at desire, and we've got to really consider the possibility of it. What does it look like if I were to go for it, right? What was that Disney song? A dream is a wish your heart makes, and you should always pursue your dreams. Well, what about the Unabomber? Unabomber had some dreams, and that didn't turn out well for anybody. Dreams must have a certain guideline. Right? Well, my dream is to one day go out and, oh, I don't know, pick something fun. You know, a child grows up, I want to be a train conductor. Well, all right, buddy, if you want to be a train conductor, This is the training you've got to do. This is the work you've got to put in. You got to work yourself up to that position, and there it is. And the child goes, all right. And they do all the things, and they become a train conductor, and hey, all right. You did something you wanted to do that was not harmful to you or others, didn't transgress the law of God. You saw the obstacles, you overcame the obstacles, and there you go. But when we see things that transgress God, those are limits we do not cross. Well, hey, I'd have a hard time doing that because I've got this limitation, that limitation. Those things can always be negotiated. The Word of God cannot. Whether or not we're harming people or ourselves should never be dealt, you know what I'm saying? Should never be dealt in. It is good to have dreams. It is good to have thoughts like that. If what we want is biblical and safe. Otherwise, we are putting ourselves open, not just for judgment, but for harm. If I believe an action, behavior, or belief to be moral, doesn't make it right. I've heard people make arguments for all sorts of things. Hey, this is why stealing is important. Right? This is why stealing's okay. Because Walmart is a big billion-dollar industry. They've got all this money. So what we're going to do is we're going to just shoplift, right? Right, Brother Des? We're going to go in, we're going to fill our carts, and we're going to walk out. And those people aren't going to come in here and get into a fight over a cart full of groceries. They're not going to get into a fight over a cart full of summer clothes. I'll just walk right on out with it. And it's okay because they're billionaires. Like I've heard that argument. And then guess what you hear? Them whine and cry when Walmart shuts its doors and leaves. Oh no, they're being mean to us. No, they stopped making money. They are a store. They buy stuff. They sell you stuff. They're not going to keep buying stuff for you to steal stuff. They will leave that area and say, everything we're buying here is getting stolen. We're out. They don't understand that part of the judgment. They're punishing us because they're mean to us. No, you stole their stuff and they decided not to do that anymore. If I walk over and I take your television set, you're going to lock your door, yes? Yes, you would. Understanding judgment should be simple. Just because I think something is right doesn't make it right. And so many today, that's what they believe. Well, it's mine to take. They're billionaires. I deserve it. Well, they said something mean to me, therefore it's okay that I was violent with them. I don't like them, so it's okay for me to do this. We have abandoned the teachings of God, and we have applied the carnality of man. When you teach people that if you think it's right, you have something you call, you have a moral system you've developed, right? What do we call it today? I have my truth. Truth is not subjective. When we were kids, the teachers would come around with Play-Doh and they would watch us while we played with the Play-Doh and we would each make different things, right? Now make a circle. We'd make a circle. Now make a square. We'd make a square. If I didn't make a square, I got in trouble, right? Maybe not trouble, but they say, all right, now I remember this is what a square is. Okay, good, good. They had these restrictions, but many people, they think truth is like that Play-Doh. I can bend it and shape it to whatever I want. That's not how that works. Well, you see, I was justified in breaking into this grocery store because it doesn't matter. Silver handcuffs are still on your wrist. Doesn't make it go away. I've seen people just screaming down the road, 80, 90 mile an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. What's wrong with you? I'll catch it on camera every now at the church. You'll just hear one in particular just, zoom! You go, man, that's a lot faster than anything else. You look it up, and sure enough, there they go, blistering across. Why do they think that? I'm in a hurry. I've got a fast car. Those cops can't catch me. Blah, 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 blah. You hit something and you kill somebody, that philosophy won't help you. You get pulled over. Why'd you pull me over? You were speeding. How'd you know I was speeding? Because you're ripping the aluminum siding off of the houses as you went by. Could be the technology that I've got in the car, but I'm going to go with the fact that you left half your tires back down the road.
Well, I don't understand why they treat me this way. Because you transgress the law. Well, whose opinion of the law? No. The law. You broke it. See, when we stand before God, and rest assured one day we all will stand before God, we will not be able to sit there and declare unto Him our thoughts and philosophies so He can judge us by them. He's going to sit there and say, this is what you did. This is what you didn't do. For those that are saved, all our works will be laid out. That fire will come down. Only what's good will be left. Oh, but I really thought that was... There's no question. There's no arguing. For those that are lost, and they stand before the Lord with no salvation. Depart from me, I never knew you. Well, now hold on. I didn't do no murders. I didn't kill anybody. I never hurt anybody. I only ever just did what I thought was right. The only person I ever hurt was myself, and that's my business. There's no conversation. Yet we see today, time and time again, well, why is that wrong? Why? Why am I getting punished for this? Why? They don't understand that judgment. Why? Because they were taught to follow the heart. And to say follow the heart is the same as saying follow your lusts. Follow your impulses. Now, any of you ever have an impulse you're glad you didn't go up on? They cut me off. Now, you may have that impulse to slide up wrong side of them, put them into the rail. That's illegal. People get hurt. Best to let that impulse slide, right? Oh, look at that. No one would know if I just put that in my pocket. No one would know. Lord knows. Good to let that impulse slide. Just because your body wants it doesn't make it a good thing. And when you practice that too hard, you lose your ability to control yourself because all you've ever done is practice doing whatever your impulse has said. And you get weaker at it. Like that fitness we talked about this morning. What you continuously do is what you get better at, especially if it's doing nothing at all. Well, I got up and I felt like doing this, and that's what I did. I got up and I felt like doing this, and that's what I did. I didn't feel like doing that, so that's what I did. So guess what? Now you're just chasing your lusts. You're just chasing those impulses that your body has. Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What happens when we give into our lust? In this particular case, we're talking about how God gave people up towards those things. And what happened? They defiled themselves. They brought dishonor to their own bodies. You see, some people, they just, hey, it feels good, so I'm putting it in my body. And I know that's rich coming from me, but alcohol, drugs, tobacco, excessive food, whatever have you. I put it in because it feels good. And after a while, that drug takes a hold of the body. And it owns that body. And it affects that body. And it kills that body. I was talking to somebody, they were arguing back and forth over whether or not the Bible says we should or should not drink. And I told him, I tell you guys, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not, but if you read all the verses where it talks about drinking and you still think you should drink, you ain't read it right. Should read it again. Because if you put all those verses together, you form the conclusion that that ain't something I ought to play with. Because that's something that'll play with you. Well, I'll do it every now and then just to relax. Okay, well, let's say something bad happens. You've developed a mechanism to where drinking relaxes you. Something bad happens. How are you going to make sure that you don't go into excess because you're feeling particularly stressed out or you're going through a particularly rough time? And all of a sudden, what? That thing has you. It has your body. And I told somebody this, I go, every time you do that, it's one of the few things you can take into your body that will immediately kill your brain cells. I go, that doesn't sound like a very good thing, does it? I said, well, no. As a matter of fact, that's what makes it feel so good. When people do drugs or alcohol, it starts killing off those brain cells, and the body creates this reaction where it releases good feelings because it thinks you're dying. So it just makes you feel good. I don't think that that's a good trigger to be pushing. Do you? That's the wrong kind of a thing. So again, that judgment that, well, I'm going to give into my impulse. Well, you may find yourself in the thralls of something that will dishonor your body. You wouldn't let me come over and flick your nose. You wouldn't let me come over and push you. Why? Well, that's embarrassing behavior. I would never let you disrespect me like that. But yet we continuously bring in things to our lives that box our liver, kill our brains, and do all manner of havoc to our social lives. We allow things to make jokes of us. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So often we get into these things because our heart, we follow our heart into trouble. And we partake in things, be they behaviors or consumables, whatever. And when that impulse comes to do that wrong thing, we don't even think about it, we just do it. Why? Because we've come to learn to obey those impulses. That's a bad thing. You are a person without a mental leash on you. You're not in control. And again, I want to be careful when I say you're not in control. It is still you making the foolish decision. But you've acted on impulse and you've stopped applying the brakes. Aren't you glad your car has brakes? I'm glad my car has brakes. Because otherwise, what would happen? I'll stop when I stop. Right? Now, when my brother was learning how to ride a bike, he didn't like using the brakes because he wanted his tires to last forever. Thankfully, we had chain link fence in the front of our house and then down towards the side of our house. So he could ride up and down the sidewalk when we were first learning how to ride our bikes without training wheels, and he would just use the chain link fence to stop. Ask me if that hurt him in the end. It did. It hurt him all the time. I'm glad my car has brakes, because otherwise I'll stop when I stop. I'm glad that my body has brakes and that I am prone to using them, because sometimes you've got to tap the brakes on the impulses. Otherwise, you're going to stop when you stop. And for a lot of us, we don't stop that sin until we die. Because your body isn't going to want to give up on that little adrenaline and dopamine rush it gets from that sin. It's not going to want to give up on it. You'll either wreck your body to the point where you can't have it anymore, or you'll die in it. I don't want to be in a position where I'll stop when I stop. I want to be able to stop a bad thing when I need to stop a bad thing. Many of us, we struggle with that. We've given into a bad habit for so long, it is hard for us to hit the brakes. But hit the brakes, you still should. You got to do everything you can to get to the point to where you shut off this obedience to lust and to the desires of the heart. It doesn't take a philosopher to realize that the things that the heart wants are not good for us. You take a child, hey, listen, school's about to start. Sandra, he was with my mom and they were out shopping and they went to the store. And guess what they already have out in the stores? Back to school stuff. He looks over and he goes, oh man, we just got out. You know, one of the best things you could do is some schooling, right? So why doesn't the heart want that? It's the best thing for you. But I tell you what, the heart don't want it. We talk about, you know, bringing it back to fitness. I got all manner of cool workout equipment down there. You know what when I wake up in the morning, stretch out, you know what the last thing is I want to do? Go down to that basement. Lift those weights, hit the heavy bag, do some cardio. My heart doesn't want to do it. It's the best thing for you. It solves a lot of problems for me. I don't want to. One of the best things for you is that thing sitting in your lap right now, reading the Bible. Does the heart always want to? No. That heart's a wily thing. What about staying up half the night watching stupid television? All the heart wants that. What about worrying over things you got no control over whatsoever? The heart likes that, don't it? Now, the heart likes some things that we can mutually agree on. You know, my heart likes seeing particular things, you know, getting together with people and, you know, going to fireworks, say third, or what was on the third, go see some fireworks. Hey, my heart enjoys that. We can agree on it. Ain't nobody getting hurt over some fireworks. We agree on some things, but I find that my heart likes to stray. Right? Let's not do that. That'd be really good for us. Let's not do that. Now, this would be a complete and total waste of time.
It fatigued the body, hurt the body, and it's a transgression against the Lord. It wants to do those things. Don't read your Bible today. Don't do that. Stare at your phone. Don't do that. Stare at your TV. See, the heart, it messes with you. Those lusts, they mess with you. Again, your heart stays 12. That's my opinion. Don't look to science for that. They won't tell you that. I can't prove it. But in my opinion, there's a part of your brain that stays 12. It stay up late and want it. It stay up late and eat candy and pizza all night if it want. If you'd let it. We need some maturity. Where do we get judgment? Looking back at our verse, evil men understand not judgment. They don't understand decision making because all they do is follow the heart. They don't know how to weigh out pros and cons and wisdom versus folly. They don't always know how to do that. Now don't get me wrong, there's different kinds of people. We're talking those who've given themselves entirely over to their lusts. Evil men. But there's many of us that toe the line between wisdom and evil. Good and evil. We're somewhere in between there. And the temptation is to go closer to the evil. To go closer to the constantly giving in to the impulses. It says there that they do that. They don't understand how to make the decisions. As we get closer to evil, we lose our ability to make decisions because it's all impulse and desire. We lose the ability to understand judgment that's been placed on us. Well, why would God send people to hell? Why would the judge put me in jail? Why would the officer pull me over? Why would this happen? Why would that happen? You know, I've only argued with everybody I've loved and cared about in my life. Why does nobody come and visit me? You know, we wonder about these things. Because we don't understand that actions have consequences. And we don't get to pick what they are. So as we get closer to that line of evil, of continually in our impulses, we lose the ability to understand. We lose our ability to understand why we're being judged for our decisions. They must hate me. They must want to disadvantage me. No, you've done wrong. And that comes out in a certain kind of judgment. What we need to do is what we read in 1 Corinthians 13:6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. See, the idea is, if I'm not giving into my impulses, then I'm always living this hyper-structured life where there is no joy, right? If I can't have Cap'n Crunch peanut butter. You ever have Cap'n Crunch, the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch? If you have, it's one of the most delicious things on earth. I cannot have it. It is all carbs and sugar, and I'm pretty sure cocaine, don't quote me on that, right? I can't have it. So does that mean the only other option is boring bran flakes? No. But many people say, well, I either live godly and be miserable, or I go out and be wild and free and have whatever I want. That's not the choice. We have all sorts of things that bring us joy. All sorts of things that make us happy. The only thing we're not supposed to have are the things that would start off by making us happy and then rob us. Right? You know, we've got kids. They love pets. Oh, man. Gideon, he loves to catch him a frog. That snake we had for a while, it passed away. But he'll catch a frog. He'll keep it for a day. He'll let it go. Danielle contemplated giving him a new pet, and I had a fit. I was sitting there. I was about ready to go to bed, and the spider the size of a chihuahua just came walking across the floor. You ever see a spider that has like footsteps? Danielle would probably say that I'm over exaggerating, but I'm pretty sure the floor squeaked underneath it. You know what I mean? This thing, I could have ridden this thing to church this morning. All right, I'll quit. I don't like spiders. This thing comes walking out, and I'm staring at it. She comes and she gets it and she goes, what we should do is we should put it in one of those terrariums for Gideon to keep as a pet. I didn't say nothing because Mama taught me if you didn't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I did a whole lot of nothing saying there. I just didn't say anything. Oh man, this would be a good thing. That's not a good thing. You know what? That little boy, he probably would have lost his mind. Oh, that's so cool. Look at the size of it. Oh man, I bet that thing could drive daddy's car. You know, he got a kick out of it. But in my opinion, that's getting a thrill out of the wrong thing. That's rejoicing. He would have been so excited, I would have been mortified. I was terrified. You see, morality isn't like that. Where one man's past is another man's pet. It's a dangerous thing. See, sin is a viper. Sin is a viper. We hear those stories. I refer to the people who keep poisonous animals or venomous animals. Sorry, venomous animals. And those animals bite the people. Like, I reached in there to clean out the... He would never bite me, but today I guess he must have been having a bad day, and today he bit me. I had to go get an anti-venom shot. Well, yeah, you had to go... And you probably knew exactly where to go and who had it because you have a venomous animal. If you keep sin in your life, and you rejoice in it, you're going to get bit. Even if that sin itself doesn't wreak havoc on your life, you still have to answer to God for having something destructive in your life. We need to make sure that we've got the right ideas about the things we've brought into our lives. Some folks, they revel in iniquity. They revel in the wrong kind of thing. And it leads to a short life. Oh, and I've heard this. Well, you know, I'd rather live fast and die young. You know, I've met people who lived fast and got pretty close to dying young. You know what I found? They went from agreeing with that statement to hating that statement. Well, we all got to die sometime. Might as well be dying doing something awesome. Yeah. You know, I told somebody one time, well, you got to die some way. Yeah, but do you want to die that way? Do you want to die that way? Coughing and gasping? Do you want to die in jail? Do you want to die like that? I don't think. I mean, you don't really get to pick how. But man, I'd like to avoid some of them, wouldn't you? Certainly would. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, there was a time in our lives, if you're here and the Lord has saved you, and you've come to the realization that you needed the Lord to forgive you, you needed that blood of Christ applied to your life. There was a time when that's how we lived. Well, I tell you what, I'll go down here, I'll go down to the bar, and I'll put this in my nose, and I'll go home with her, and if we can get that going early off in the day, I'll be able to make it home before the kids go to bed, and you know, kiss my wife goodnight. You did impulsive things. You sped in the car. You experimented with things that God told you not to. You rolled your eyes at your parents when they told you things were right and wrong. You did those things. Then one day the Holy Spirit brought conviction into your heart and you realized what the Bible had to say, that the wages of sin is death. And not just death, but an eternity in a place called hell. The moment sin entered into this world and entered into man, we were all destined to hell. But God, in His richness and in His mercy and in His love towards us, sent His Son to die, because that's the way it was supposed to go. You sin, you die, you go to hell. Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, no sin, He died, making Him able to take the punishment and the penalty for all of our sins. And that if we repent of our sins, believe that He did those things, trust in Him as our Savior. And again, asking on that repentance, both asking for forgiveness and turning from it, we too can be saved. See, we were quickened, made alive, able now to see the consequences of those actions and see the folly in those actions. When we were kids, my cousin had a trampoline, and I don't think it was a cousin, it might have just been a family friend, but they had a trampoline, and we were getting up on the shed, and the trampoline was behind the shed. Parents, grandparents, if you have a trampoline, don't put it behind something you can't see, even if you're just storing it there, because kids like me will figure it out. got on top of the shed, we'd jump down onto the trampoline. And you know what? To us, that's great fun. How could it hurt? It's a trampoline. Until enough of us were bounced off of the trampoline and thrown back into the shed. Until we tried to jump up high enough to get back onto the shed and we fell on things and scuffed up things and hurt things. And on top of it, we got in trouble for it, because how else do you explain a bunch of people with bruises, cuts, scratches, and bleeding wounds coming into the house looking for some Kool-Aid? You know? What happened? Sword fight. It doesn't work. We realize that that is the extent of our actions. Fun for a minute that ends in pain, and on top of it, God's judgment upon us. Or I ask forgiveness. I believe that Jesus came, he lived that perfect life, and he died on the cross so that as he was dying, he took my penalty for sin. That I could be washed clean of my guilt, that I could be washed clean of that charge. Not just let it go, not just forgotten, but paid for. See, so often you hear that quote, you know, you may bring up my past, but God dropped the charges. He didn't drop the charges. Jesus Christ paid for it. He died for it. Suffered for it. It wasn't forgotten. It was paid in full. We've come to that realization. And on top of it, we develop a better understanding. As I read through the Word of God, I see this action may be fun. This action may give me a thrill, but in the end, it leads to these problems and then God's judgment. We've talked about biblical study before, about studying the Bible looking for a precept, right? Biblical precept is what? The thou shalt and the thou shalt not. I take those things, I apply them to my life. Then there's the principles, like the drinking thing. I'll put all the verses together that talk about it, come to a solid conclusion about what I should do. Then there's preferences. That is where there's neither verse nor thing, but we decide, all right, this is how we're going to do that in a way that would be least likely to transgress what God wants. We learn those things. We learn to apply those things. And all of a sudden, we develop a judgment. Well, I know I can't do that because that is a lot like this, and that brings nothing but heartache. Well, I would never do that. Why? Because the Bible teaches me this, and it is very clear on that. So when it says here, and forgive me, let me go back here. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. I wish that when the Lord saved me, when the Lord brought me to conviction over my sin, I wish that God had unscrewed my head and given me all the knowledge I would ever need in that moment. Wouldn't that be handy? But I like what one brother said. Well, if the Lord saves a stupid person, he stays a stupid person. And he was talking about me, and I didn't think that was very nice. But, man, I wish. But that's not what that verse is referring to, that the moment you become a Christian, you just know everything. No, we learn. And in the process of learning, we develop that understanding. This is why that's wrong. This is why we can't do that. Not just because my church says no, not just because the church people don't like it, but this is what God has to say about it, and I understand why it's wrong. And that judgment exceeds or continues down to, well, this is kind of like that, so I know to avoid it. And then we also learn the thing about judgment or punishment that comes down from us, comes down on us. Well, of course, I knew that that was bad. So many, they don't see that. You know, they'll go out there, you know, we talk about this, you know, the drug thing. How many people have to overdose before everybody on the planet realizes that that's no good? How many people have to lose everything? Struggled to afford food in the fridge before we realize that stuff's no good. We don't get it. But as you learn, hey, listen, everybody may be doing it, but it's never done any good. Oh, you get a handful of people out there. Well, I do just fine. They're often millionaires, by the way. And they've got revenue coming in the millions.
But that body is eventually going to give up. I had a boss like that. Got caught on the heroin. I saw him losing weight. He goes, no, I got it under control. It's fine. Like a boss, man. I go, I don't know. He stopped eating. He'd call off of work all the time. Oh, and everything was fine. He had money coming in from here, money coming in from there. He was paying his bills. Everything was, he was getting his work done. He didn't, oh man, in his mind, I got it under control because I can pay my bills and I can buy the stuff and everything is fine. Well, he lost his position. Eventually, that stuff drove his heart to get weaker and weaker and it quit. 38 years old. Had the heart of a 90-year-old. We need to learn some judgment. We see children out there in these battered situations. We see broken homes. We see not just immorality, but we see the effects of immorality. And yet we still sit here and we don't understand. Those that know the Word of God, we ought to understand. Sin is not a neutral thing. It eats, it devours, it destroys. But thank God He has given us a way out of that. Through repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot just have freedom from an eternity in hell, but we can have a life more abundant while we're here. Being taught to stay away from the things that steal life away from us, that offer small amounts of joy and fun now for a shortened lifespan, for bad relationships, for a rotten testimony. I would much rather have the understanding that the Word of God gives me than to be slave to the impulses and desires of my heart. Many of you, you've lived both. You've lived both, and you know one is most certainly better than the other. So as we live, we need to make sure we're not getting too close to that evil men mentality. We need to watch the desires, watch the impulses, and make sure we're not acting as though we lack understanding. Because nothing is more, I think nothing is more disappointing when somebody does something they're not supposed to do. And you, hey, don't you know you're not supposed to do that? Well, I know. Like we're trying to reaffirm our intelligence. Well, I know. That's not a good hill to be standing on. You know. And why'd you do it? And that right there tells you everything you need to know about the heart. It'll make you want something you know will tear your life apart. So I'd rather listen to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you convict us when we're wrong. Because, Father, it is better to live an upright life. It's better to live a life without sin than it is to just give ourselves whatever we want. Lord, help us not to fall for the fallacy that if we serve you, we're going to be miserable. Lord, the happiest people on earth are people that have surrendered entirely to you. Lord, you give us joy. You give us laughter. Lord, you give us comfort in times where comfort is impossible. You make us to feel comfort, Lord, and peace. Well, it doesn't make sense for a person to have those things. Father, help us to stay close to your word. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here who's never repented of their sins, never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that you convict their soul. Lord, bring them out so that, Father, they may spend that eternity with you. And that, Lord, they may spend the rest of their years here on this earth walking a lot better, a lot happier than they are now. For the name of Jesus we pray, amen.